Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Hey, Halacha Tesvav, Chapter 5, Law 15, in the Mishnayim text, we're on page 92 and 93. We're going to finish up today, Bezras Hashem, the laws of what you can and cannot do in front of a Shabbos candle. And the basic concept's been the whole time, if you're doing the type of activities that somebody would be inclined to want to increase the light, you can't do that activity in front of the Shabbos candle. If it's something that you wouldn't be increasing the light, then you can do it in front of the Shabbos candle, because then there's no concern of tilting the flame. So give more examples of that. Tesvav. Hatinokos, young children. Karin lifnei rabban l'or haner mipnei sharav mishamra. Young children can read their chumash and whatever they need to read in front of their Rebbe Friday night. They had school Friday night also. They had to go to the Rebbe.
Why not?
Had to get tested.
Torah.
Remember, people would tell me, Shabbos is when you... Not everybody liked Shabbos, you should know. You had to go to the Rebbe and get tested, and if you didn't do well,
yeah,
it wasn't good, you know.
But on Shabbos, it couldn't be not good.
Whatever. So you see, even the times of the Rambams, you know, Shimi had school Friday night. See, you had to go to the Rebbe on Friday night to read. So the Tinoikas, they would read in front of the Rebbe, and you know, you didn't have to worry about them tilting because the Rebbe is watching and he's guarding them. There's fear of the Rebbe over them. They wouldn't dare do anything, even on the weekday. They wouldn't dare touch the flame without the permission of the Rebbe. You know, don't take your own law in your own hands. That's one the reason the Rambam gives. However, the Rishalmi gives a very interesting reason. He says, what's the whole reason to tilt? That one would want to tilt it so you can make the flame last longer, so you could read longer. So the students are not interested in having longer class, and if anything, they want the fire to go out quicker, and therefore they're not going to touch it at all, even if the Rebbe's not in the room. If they're not afraid of the Rebbe, they say, oh, too bad, fire went out.
It's out.
Friday night,
shucks.
Class is out when the lights are out. So that's all there is to it. So no one's going to try to keep it any longer, so the students can read in front of the Rebbe. Avahu, but he, the Rebbe, Lo yikra, he cannot read.
Right.
Why? Mipnei she'ein emosam alav. The fear of them is not on him. He's not afraid of them. Right? And he wants class to go longer. Right? Wants to keep him after school. So he keeps it longer. So that both problems would exist by him, and therefore he cannot read alone. V'yeshlo liros v'sefer lor ha'ner atshira rosha parshu tzarech lekrosam. But he still has to find the place. He has to open up the chumash, mix the pages and find a place to start, right? So that he could do. He could show them in the book through the light of the candle, so they'll see exactly where the beginning of the parsha is that they will need to read. Then you give the sefer into their hands. They current lefun of the reader for it. Could very well be it was the sefer Torah. They were learning out of the sefer Torah. So therefore, that he can do. Okay, next halacha tes zayin. Kalem. Hadoimim zelazeh, utensils that are pretty similar one to another. Veinim nikarim elabin harbin. You can't tell the difference between them unless there's great focus. You're really looking carefully. Asur lahakrivim lor haner lahafnim them. You can't bring them to the light of the Shabbos candle to be able to tell them apart. Why? Same reason. Shema yishkach v'yat. You may forget and you'll tilt the candle and therefore you'll transgress the Shabbos. Lefikach, therefore, shamas she'ena kavua, a servant who's not used to being in his job, so he doesn't know all the utensils so well. Also, lalivto kosos ukaris araner, he can't inspect the cups and the plates to the light of the candle. Mivnei she'ena makirius doesn't recognize them. Bein b'ner shel shemen zayis, bein b'ner shel neft she'orarav. It doesn't matter if it's a fire, if it's a light of shemen zayis, of olive oil, or of naphtala, whatever it's called, naphthalene, that the light is a lot, can't do it. But avol shamish kavua, but a steady servant, mutal alivdok lara ner kosos koros, he can inspect the cups and the plates to the light of the candle. Why? He doesn't need a lot to inspect. He knows pretty much what they're like. Imhaya ner shel shemen zayis, and if it would be a lamp of shemen zayis, of olive oil, even in that case, a moron lo livtok, we wouldn't instruct him to check it. Valpi shumutter, even though it's mutter, why? Because gzeira shem yistagmenu. Because maybe he'll use a little bit of the olive oil. He might use the olive oil. So that's already, because it's usable. But, so we don't tell him to do it, but he ever, if he did it, he did it. Okay, next. Yud Zayin. Another problem to deal with. They would have, a lot of their candles would be on, like the kerosene ones on the wall next to the door. So now you have a problem if you're opening and closing the doors, can, you know, put out the fire or other issues that are dealing with that.
Flaming.
Yes. So Yud Zayin. Near Shachori Adelas, a light that is behind the door. You can't open and close the door in the normal fashion because that will extinguish the flame. And you might say, but he doesn't have intention to put it out, and it's Einu Miskaven. He certainly does not want the fire to go out. And we learned earlier that Einu Miskaven is Pater. But what's the problem still? Still the yes or why? Because certainly, it will certainly go out. When you open a door quickly, the 99%, that fire is going to go out. And what do we call that? Psik Reisha.
Yeah.
Remember Psik Reisha? Cut the chicken's head off, it'll die. Psik Reisha. Yeah. So if you do something that is pretty much 99% going to happen, then that's as if it's for sure happening. So Einu Miskaven is not putter in that situation. So opening and closing the door in front of the candle like that would certainly put it out. Ella, but, so what do you do? Can you not go in and out of your house the whole Shabbos, the whole Friday night, if the thing is right there? So what you do is, Eliezer, you have to be very careful, when you open and close it, you do it very slowly and carefully, you don't swing it open like that, so you don't cause a big breeze, and therefore you'll be able to open and close it if you do it carefully. But then there's another issue now. There's another problem of opening a door in front of a torch on Shabbos. Why? Because that could make the wind blow on it. And what's the problem here? This would now increase the flame. Wind increases flames. You can have wind blowing out a candle. Isn't so much. I'll open the door, the wind of the door will blow it out. But a torch does not get blown out by some wind. And therefore what happens? So it increases the flame, which creates even a bigger problem. And that's what? Increasing it, and that would become fire. Now notice how, if you look carefully at the words, in the first clause, he did not make a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif. It's just you cannot open the door where the candle is. Now he says you can't open the door opposite the torch on Shabbos. So what's the implication? Well, in the first halacha, it seems like no distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, because in each case, you can't do something that will put out the fire. Shabbos or Yom, you can't put out a fire. But on Yontif, there is no problem to open the door that the wind will blow on the torch and increase the fire, because there's no problem of increasing the fire on Shabbos, on Yontif. And therefore, that's why he's saying only on Shabbos is it a problem in that case. Okay, that's good. I think we got everything there. Okay, one more. Now, the Alpha P, what?
This seems similar to the case where there's motion things on the street.
We said the motion detectors is different. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Motion detectors, you're not doing anything unusual. You're walking. No. But here you're opening a door, and the wind is doing it out. So you're doing something that you can directly attribute the wind. You are making the wind. When I'm opening the door, I'm making a wind, and I'm effectively blowing it out. Right. Here, I am just walking. You can't tell me I'm doing anything wrong with walking. It's like totally natural. It's nothing at all what I'm doing. Right? You don't walk, and blow out a candle when you're just walking naturally, right? So that's what they said. That's not a problem.
So if you know 100% sure the light's going to go on, you can still walk.
You should try to find a way not to do it. You should always try to find a way. If there's no other way.
That's you're going away, you've never gone before, and you go by.
No. Michael is saying, for sure it's gone. So still, if there's no other way, then b'di'evit, you can go.
Remember my story at the apartment, I had to duck down under the bushes?
Right, okay, so it's better if you can do that and not turn it on, that's fine. But if you have no other way to do it, then you have to go into the house. Because you're not really doing anything. That's... You can't call that any kind of malacha.
Yeah.
Right? Malacha is you did something. In the Beis HaMikdash, if they walked, was it a malacha? Right? What are you going to compare that in the Beis HaMikdash? Everything in the... What?
Opening the door. No,
opening the door. I'm making a wind. I'm making a wind. I'm blowing out...
The fridge and the light in the fridge. Yeah. It's like, so if you open the door in the fridge, you know the light's going to go on. You can't open the fridge door.
Yeah, but that seems...
No, because,
and you want something in the fridge. That's doing an action.
No, because then my hand is right. Taking something to the
it's
light.
The same thing as opening the door and making
but
a
here,
wind.
Here, I'm not doing anything with my body at all. I'm not touching anything. I'm not doing anything. So we can't prohibit that.
Or it's the same thing for the people that forget to shut off their alarms and you open their door and number four, number two goes on and same thing.
Well, that's
right?
A different story because the lights are going on now.
Well, that's the same as the light.
No, but you're opening the door.
Yeah, you have to do an
action. So that door...
See, if it's a motion detector, it'll be different. Because then I'm just walking.
Right.
But if you've got the alarm on, you right, open that the was, door, that, and that comes on.
That's why we're okay
so
over
I'm
here.
Stuck in this guy's house if I notice that one.
That's why we're okay over here, even though the motion detector is going on.
Right.
But it's not going on because we opened the door. We right. asked. It's not going on because of the door. It's going on because our presence and our... Because that already...
Which door
okay.
is that? Which door is that?
The one that we are using on Shabbos.
What's that upstairs, the library room in the back? As soon as people walked in, the lights went on. Nobody wanted to go in. Do you remember that room?
Okay, so it's better. We asked the caretaker to do it for us. So if we had the ability to do this. So why should we rely on a bidyeved? So just ask the caretaker to do it. But if it would be impossible, then you just will go in. And that's it. So certainly there's you try to find ways. Okay.
In the thermostat, you open your front door.
Okay, we're getting into
it's like the fridge.
What? So
thermostat that for the house.
Okay, but that's not direct.
It doesn't right away.
It's not going to happen right away. It's a long time. Okay, where am I now?
Okay.
We're not done with your design. So you can't open the door that will blow and make the fire bigger. And even though it's only a regular wind, which would not increase the fire, you still can't do it. The reason for that is we're afraid if you open the door when it's not a regular wind, you'll open the door when it's a very strong wind, and then it will do it. So that's why we don't do it. And now another interesting halacha. And you could take the Shabbos candles, and let's say you want to eat outside. So what you do as Erev Shabbos, what you do is you're going to put the candles in a holder and put it on a tree in your backyard on... For Shabbos,
a non-flammable tree.
Right? It's going to be in a menorah, right? So it's not going to burn on the tree, and you can do that. A lamp, put a lamp in the tree. Unless you want to eat outside, you need light. So then you want to have a nice, cool Friday night. You put the kerosene lamp, whatever you lit it before Shabbos, you put it on the tree, and there's no problem. So you're going to wonder what would the problem be? What's the problem? Well, let's think. What happens when it goes out? You want to retrieve. You might want to retrieve it and put it away. Well, there's a problem. You'd have to be climbing the tree. You know, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Right? You're not allowed to climb
moving the tree. It's not like moving the candles.
Oh, so that's why you're allowed to do it. Because since the guy knows that it's muksa, he's not going to touch it, so he won't climb the tree. Now again, let's look carefully again. What it says, Umeinichin aner shel Shabbos. What about the ner shel yontif? Can you do that? Rambam doesn't seem to say you can do the one for Yontif. He just says Shabbos. Why? Why is the problem with Yontif? Figure it out. Figure the logic.
Move the candles.
Because
so
on Yontif...
You still can't climb the tree.
No, on Yontif, can you move the candles?
Yes,
they're not muksa. So then you might climb the tree.
You're not allowed to
So now we're afraid you'll climb the tree to get back the menorah on Yontif. Therefore, you can't light the menorah.
You're not allowed to climb the tree on Yontif either.
That's right. Same problem. Okay, so how do you like that? So you have some cases. So in the second case where we said it's usur on Shabbos to open the door, but that would be mutter on Yontif. But here, what's mutter on Shabbos is usur on Yontif.
It actually seems stricter on Yontif than on Shabbos.
It is because there's a leniency that you can get it.
Right.
Exactly.
You can mess up.
Very good.
You can mess up.
Okay, Yudches tells us what were the warning systems they used to get people ready before Shabbos. Call Medinas Vayara Shal Yisrael Toikim Behem Sheish Tekiyas Be'er Shabbos. In all countries, cities where there's a lot of Jews, now the Poshet would be in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, but it seems as well, even in heavily populated Jewish places, they would blow the shofar six times on Erev Shabbos to get people ready for the Shabbos. It will all be explained. And where do you blow? Ubimkom gavoah hayatokim, in a high place, like a little mountain or a hill, whatever they blow. Why? Kidei lashmiya kolansha medina v'kolansha amigra shava. So all the people of the city and all the people of the surrounding areas will be able to hear what's going on. And so if you don't have the ability to do this, the Ramah brings down that, you know, whenever it's possible, announcements should be made to inform people when Shabbos is coming. So we at least have that when we send out the Shabbos bulletin. At least we tell you candlelighting is this time. I mean, it's the least we can do.
But are you going to start blowing the shofar?
No, I don't think so, right? But in Yerushalayim, right, they put the siren on 40 minutes before Shabbos.
They did it at Borough Park as well, I think.
They did? Maybe. Yeah. Did they? Could be. I won't argue.
I didn't hear when we were there, but the week before. I don't know why. I think we were just too busy. But
okay, fine. So, but there is something that you should. People need some kind of way to remind them that it's time to get ready for Shabbos. Okay, so now Yutes and Chaf Aleph are now details of this halacha. So we'll go through this quickly because we really don't do this nowadays. Tkiya Rishona, when they blow the first blowing, and in Chaf it'll tell us exactly when the blowings take place. When they blow the first blowing, what happens? Nimnu ha'omdim basaras melachrosh u'mela'ador u'melasos melachav shebasara. People refrain and stop from working in the fields. They stop plowing, they stop digging, they stop doing any work that's in the fields. That's already the serious heavy-duty work, and it's in the fields, it's going to take time to get home. So that stops. Now, what about the guys who are, let's say, there are farms that are closer to the city and farmers that are farther away from the city? So maybe you think the guys who are closer, they hear the horn blow, the shofar blow, and they just go right into the city. So no. They say, Ve'enat krovim ashrani likonis l'ir, the ones who are closer, the closer farmers cannot come to the city, achavo rechokim, until the latter ones come up to them. Why? V'ikonsu kulum v'vazat, so they all enter at the same time, so people should not suspect the latecomers to think that they were working after the shofar blew. In other words, they make it that everybody comes in at the same time. So the guys who are closer, really, they'd have to stop working, but they'd have to wait for I don't know how long, 15 minutes, whatever it takes, till the farthest farmers came together with them, so they all came together. That's at the first blow. But still, after the first blow, but still the stores to sell food and whatever you need for Shabbos are still open, and the trisim are these planks that they had a double function. They were the door of the store, and then when they opened it up, they pulled it out, and that became the table where they sold from. It said multifunction. So when they come in the morning, they'd unlock it or take it off from closing it up.
Legs on the end.
Right, and then they would put it on its side and be the table. And so now, while that first shofar blew, they still keep the table out. They haven't closed the stores yet. People can still get their late items that they need to buy after the first shofar blows. Then, when the second shofar blows, they get rid of these trisim, these boards, and they lock up the stores. But still, the hot water that's boiling on the stoves and the pots that are still cooking on top of the stoves, right? And that are mamish cooking, which you know we cannot be doing on Shabbos, or you have to at least through the ways that are permitted. But you can really cook it till from the not ready state to the ready state. Real legitimate cooking is going on while the second shofar is blowing. When the third shofar blows, silek hamesalek, we have to remove that which has to be removed, meaning the pots. And then we insulate that which is permitted to be insulated on Erev Shabbos, things that don't add hevel, that don't add heat. Take care of all that because we don't do any hatmona on Shabbos. And v'hit likuas haneros, and they light the candles. And then, we're going to learn the easier pshat now. V'shoa k'dei litzlos dog cotton, you wait the time it would take to roast a small fish, k'dei lahadig pas betanur, or to stick the bread on the stove and it could make the final cooking of that. It doesn't say exactly how long it is, but it's not a very long time. And then, v'tokeya umoreya meiriya v'tokeya v'shofes. We do a tekiya, trua, tekiya, and then we stop. In other words, the first ones, it seems, we just make a tekiya. Okay, tekiya rishon. So that's the six. You have the first one, and that means all the farmers stop. The second one, the stores close. Third one, all cooking is done, candles are lit, and then shortly later, tekiya, trua, tekiya, it's four, five, and six, and that's it. Everything has to cease at that point in time. Now, Chav, we're just giving the timing of all this. Tekiya Rishona, the first blowing, tokeo soba mincha. You blow it at mincha. Which mincha is it? So the commentators say it's mincha plag hamincha. Okay? So that is what, an hour and a quarter before sunset. Halachic hours. The Gemara says anybody who does work an Erev Shabbos from Mincha and beyond does not see any simen bracha from the work that you do. And therefore they blow the shofar to inform people, we've got to stop working, there's going to be no bracha from what you do after this point in time. Okay, doesn't say when a second one is, but it's sometime between the first and the second. Vashlishis, and that third one, Karov Lishkiya Sachama, close to the setting of the sun, and which is like Bein Hashmashes. So the commentary says that's the 18 minutes that we do before the sun sets. All right? Then you wait that little amount of time. It doesn't say exactly how long it could be. It could be 10 minutes, whatever it is. But it can't be very long because we've got to bring Shabbos in a few minutes before the sun sets. And that's what we do for after that. Yeah?
Can we not say at the first blow they're still selling stuff?
Yeah, so the second, they're selling
but
late.
Then we say you can't get any benefit. You won't get any pleasure from those sales.
No, but that's only so people have what to eat. In other words, that's Shabbos needs. You know what I'm saying? It's the stores bring the challahs and whatever. That's it's mamish for
that's
Shabbos. Plowing the field has nothing to do with Shabbos, right? But the stores are open. Whatever people need to buy things still. You know, last, you know who's not rushing to Sobey half hour before? Oh, we forgot the pop. We forgot the paper plates.
So people are buying for the benefit of Shabbos.
Yeah, so that's what that's what the stores are always open for that day. Those days, the stores are only open for that day. You didn't.
Right.
So whatever was still that last minute rush.
Stragglers, right.
So that is for Shabbos. So that's okay. But the other thing, working on the farm, is b'chlal has nothing to do with Shabbos. So there's nothing to do over there. Okay. Now, there's one other thing. We'll finish up Chav. There's one more blow we didn't talk about. V'chein tokim b'matzi Shabbos. Acher tzeisak achavim l'hatram l'masayim. How would people know when they can get back to work?
They
would blow the shofar on matzi Shabbos after the three stars come out to enable the people to get back to the work of the week.
They have an early blow and a late blow for the
Shabbos. That's the Rambam's opinion. As we'll see, there's a whole machlokas, the Ramban, the Rashba, and others that disagree with this. And the reason they say is because there's no obligation, there's not even a mitzvah to begin working on Matzi Shabbos. Right? We'll see. You know, we have to know the next halacha to know why there's really an argument over here. But so the Rambam is saying, simple, they should know when they can begin to work. The others say, no, they really don't blow. So it's a machlokas, Rishonim if you blow. Now, we come to some technical issues. So normally we do blow on Friday, but what if, let's say, Friday is Yom Kippur?
Mm-hmm.
What if Friday is Yontif? You know, would there be the need to do any of this blowing processes for the honor of Shabbos or not? So that's what will be the discuss, and it'll be the last halacha for today. Chaf Aleph. Yom HaKippurim Shechol Yos Be'er Shabbos. When Yom Kippur comes out on Friday. Now, some of you are probably looking very funny, saying, what are you talking about? Yom Kippur does not come out on
this
Friday.
Before the calendar.
The Rambam teaches us, and we know, that that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is never Lo Adu Rosh. That's the mnemonic. Lo, it's not Adu. Adu, Aleph, Dalet, Vav. Aleph is one, is Sunday. Dalet is four, is Wednesday. Vav is six, is Friday, Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah does not come on those 3 days. Adu, which is Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. And therefore, if that's the rule there, Yom Kippur cannot come out on Erev Shabbos as well. It's always 10 days later. So there's certain days, 3 days Yom Kippur can't come out on. So we know now it can't, this halacha would not be applicable nowadays. But that halacha was, but when we did do Kiddush, when we benched, when we made the new moon, when it was by sighting, then it could come out that way. Right? But, same thing with Tishrei, same thing. But now that we fixed the calendar, we fixed in a way not to make problems for us. So this halacha has only been in the olden days as well.
How would they have handled it?
With great difficulty.
There are challenges.
You'd have to have all the food ready before Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Would not be easy.
Cold cuts.
It would not be. There's no refrigerators.
Yeah, there's no refrigerator.
Room temperature cuts.
It wasn't easy. I don't know. It wasn't easy. Thank God we got a fixed calendar. You know, Hashem knew that we would never be able to
live
that way.
We're weaker.
But anyway, but when it was that way, so what would you do? So Yom Kippur Meshechol Yisrael Erev Shabbos, Yom Kippur comes out on Erev Shabbos, Loha Yutokim. They wouldn't blow. Why? Because you're not allowed to blow. It's Yom Kippur. You know, maybe you do the last blow for Ne'ilah.
Yeah, but it's already long since into Shabbos.
Not necessarily. Not everybody holds that way. Many hold that you blow before Shkia. There's a whole machlokas about Ne'ilah. It's a whole machlokas. What you do by Ne'ilah. There's some places that start way before it says.
That's the conservative shul.
No. even Chabad finishes Ne'ilah. Way before it says.
And what do they do?
They just sit around. You know, they finish way early.
That's anticlimactic.
No, because they can't have a Kiddush clip.
I'm just saying. So there's all different opinions when you finish Ne'ilah, when you blow, whatever. But anyway, but the blowing for Erev Shabbos typical six blows, certainly you're not going to blow. That's out. You can't do this. How about now? Chol Yois B'Motzei Shabbos. What if Yom Kippur comes out on Motzei Shabbos, which again for us cannot happen? If it comes out on Motzei Shabbos, so the Rambam says you got this blow you do afterwards to do what? To allow people to go to work. No one's going to work on Yom Kippur. What about Havdalah? Do you have to make Havdalah from Shabbos to Yom Tov? From Shabbos to Yom Kippur?
No.
Do we make a Havdalah from Shabbos to Yom Tov?
Yes.
A mavdol ben kodesh
to kodesh.
But when do we do that? When you're going from a higher level of kedusha
to a lower level
of kedusha.
But
Shabbos Yom Kippur are equal levels of kedusha, so there's no need to make havdalah either between Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
You couldn't drink it anyway.
Therefore, he says lo tokim velo mavdilin. You wouldn't blow the shofar because there's no work to allow. You wouldn't make havdalah because you're not going down in levels of kedusha. But Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Erev Shabbos. So what if Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos? So let's think over here.
Tokim
V'lo Mavdilin. Tokim, we're blowing. So what are we blowing for? Well, we're not blowing for work. We're blowing for cooking. So for the cooking purpose we blow. But V'lo Mavdilin, we don't make Avdala. Why don't we make Avdala? We're going from a lower Kedusha, very good, from a lower Kedusha to a higher Kedusha. So there's no need to make Havdalah from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Chol Yos L'Acher Shabbos, what if Yom Tov comes after Shabbos? Then Mavdilin, you make Havdalah, because now it's going from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. Below Tokin, you don't blow, because again, there's no work that there is to be done. So that clarifies all those halachas.